Attention all you rule breakers, you misfits and troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists. Everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what's right with you. You see things others don't. You are hardwired to change the world.
You are listening to the Spiritual Activist Radio Show, and I am Rahasia Uncensored, where we look at the world not as it is, but as we know it can be, if and only if we have the courage to question the answers we've been given. This is our world, and it's time for us to take it back. And today we're going to be interviewing Robert David Steele. He's a person that I met there at the conference, the Dimensional Disclosure, amongst other people that were pretty interesting, and you'll be hearing some of those interviews and the weeks to come. But first, Robert David Steele. If you want to find out more about him, it's robertdavidsteele.com. That's his main website. But he also has an interesting blog, too, that's Phi Beta Lota, and that is www.phibetaiota, phibetaiota.net. Robert David Steele, he's been with the CIA for so many years, and if you go to his website, robertdavidsteele.com, and click on About, you're going to see a long list of awards and media coverage and testimonials about this guy. He's worth listening to, for sure, because he's been an insider for so many years, and I'm really grateful that he took out the time to share with us some of what he knows. And some of it is dark, some of it is hard to think about, look at, but I'm telling you, we have to do this, because if we don't, the direction we're going, it's not going to end well for any of us. So, Robert David Steele, let's hear what he has to say. So, Robert, it's glad to have you here right now. Okay, let's start this out by... we're having an interview with Robert David Steele, and his website is www.robertdavidsteele.com. And I went to your website and checked in the About You, and it's just so much. We could do a whole show about what you've done. You were handpicked to pioneer advanced information and technology, including artificial intelligence, which would be nice to touch on. You testified against secrecy and against torture, which is like dear to most of our hearts. And your official travel has been engagements in Colombia, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Panama, Venezuela. And I have to tell you, I became first aware of you when I watched the International Tribunal for Natural Justice. That tribunal, Robert, really touched me, and it's touched everybody that I've shown that to.
Here's the badge.
Yeah, that's to prove it. Yeah, that's a really good idea you guys had, and we just have to keep on doing it, because if we want...
Well, all credit to Sasha Stone. Although I'm chief counsel, I'm one of about 20 commissioners, including Bill Binney and a couple of others.
Speaking of Bill Binney, how is he?
He's good. He had 4 bypasses.
Oh, my God.
I talked to him this morning. He's out. He's out of the benign intensive care post-op. He's now in his own room with his own phone, And people are visiting him. And he received a call from a very famous general that I won't mention his name. But basically, he's getting a lot of respect. And we are all in tears over his coming out of this well.
Yeah, that's really great. That was sort of... touching to hear everybody's emotions around when we heard that he had a heart event, you know, there at the disclosure. So here, I'd like to start this out, Robert, with because a lot of people are going to listen to what we're going to be talking about, and it's going to be some pretty dark stuff, I'm sure, for a lot of people. And the question I get asked is, why do we even talk? What does it do any good to know all this stuff when nothing ever happens? And my answer to that is power. A lot of their power exists because they're behind a veil of secrecy. Once you pull that veil open, a lot of their power dissipates. And the other thing is the power of collective consciousness. The answer, whatever the answers is to some of the problems that we have on this planet, is going to come from a collective mind, a collective consciousness, coming up from for answers that we really haven't got to yet, because some of these problems are so complex. I'll let you start out.
I'm going to answer questions. I'm not going to just talk.
All righty. Well, here's we have several quotes from several presidents about Kennedy says we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy. Of course, Eisenhower, his last speech, which when you listen to it, you realize why it was his last speech. I'd like to talk on human trafficking and who is involved. What these groups do, I think, is they find a weakness in congressmen, senators, corporate leaders. They find a weakness and they use that weakness to slowly walk them in to these inner circles to where they're not only blackmailable, but they are controllable. What do you have to say about that?
Well, as I said in my briefing at this at Dimensions of Disclosure, people can find the complete briefing at tinyurl.com/steal with a capital S dash DD, capital D dash 2019. There are 9 veils of evil in the whole Epstein case, and they all boil down to the Mossad running pedophilia entrapment operations against U.S. presidents, congressmen, judges, prosecutors, celebrities, and so on, with the complicity of the CIA and the FBI, and at the same time with the complicity of the media. I mean, we have a joke in my business. How many pedophiles does it take to cover up our blackmail operations? And the answer is all of them. Every single person of consequence in the U.S. media, U.S. academics, U.S. courts, U.S. government, U.S. Congress is compromised. Israel is getting away with murder, literally, because pedophilia is not just about pedophilia. It's about murderous pedophilia, in which the child is tortured to produce adrenochrome and then murdered. Sometimes children will be forced to give birth in a satanic ritual abuse event, and the fetus is then eaten. This is all secondhand. I've never participated in anything like this, nor would I. But this is really, really, as you say, dark stuff. This is the dark underbelly of the deep state and its Zionist front end. And I'm always careful to distinguish between Zionism, which is evil, and Judaism, which is not. Two completely different things. One is, and I love the Edge Boys at Dimensions of Disclosure and their briefing on the Synagogue of Satan. Zionism is not Judaism, it's satanic.
Yeah, and there is a difference. And I have some friends that are Israelis, and they're very, very quick to point out the fact that Zionism is totally different. I mean, it'd be like a Christian saying, yeah, the Ku Klux Klan is a lot different than just the normal Christian. This is a different animal altogether. So we're going to have to touch on this. We might as well get into it a little bit right now. What is Trump doing about this? And because let's face it, Trump is such a polarized figure. I wrote an article a while back where I told the people in my magazine, I can't say something good about Trump because the anti-Trumpers get on my case. I can't say anything bad about him because the Trump lovers get on my case. And it seems like both groups aren't seeing that he's just a human being.
Right. And you should not be influenced by either of those two groups. You should tell the truth no matter what it is. The Washington Examiner has written an excellent article on 290 things that Trump has done that have been great. And this includes everything from saving the economy to reducing regulation, building the wall. There's just a lot of stuff he's doing. What he's not doing are the three things that I touched on in my speech at Dimensions of Disclosure. He's not defending the Constitution, particularly the First, Second, and Fourth Amendments. He's not putting America first. He's still tonguing Benjamin Netanyahu, and he's still letting Jared Kushner run the White House, which is crazy. And third and last, he's not reaching out to the 70% of the people that are completely pushed out of the system that did not vote for him last time. He has got to embrace hashtag unrig and give the independents, the libertarians, a reasonable shot at having an honest Congress in 2022. That's the deal. He has to give us an honest Congress in 2022 if he wants the mother of all landslides. If he doesn't, what's going to happen is that internal rebellion within the GOP combined with a libertarian candidate that has a green or hashtag walkaway Democratic vice president and a coalition cabinet are going to take enough votes away from Trump so that a mediocre Democratic team can win by a whisker.
Right.
I don't want that. I want Trump to win by the mother of all landslides. But if he doesn't pay attention to what I'm saying, he is in serious risk. He is at serious risk of losing the next election.
Yeah, we definitely can't take it for granted because that first election, the element of surprise was on his side. You know, nobody was expecting that, but now they are. And there's some powerful forces up against him to do whatever it takes to knock
well,
him.
Well, not only that, the electronic voting machines are still broken.
Right.
And my friend Bill Binney, one of the reasons why Bill Binney is so important is because he and Kirk Wybie have a solution for President Trump that the Department of Homeland Security is not aware of or is keeping from the president. The Department of Homeland Security is not President Trump's friends. That is a Zionist outpost. And the writing is on the wall for the Zionists. They understand that President Trump is now focused on making a deal with Iran, not with Israel. That's huge. The supreme leader in Iran deserves all of our respect. He's the only adult in the region. Iran, Turkey, and Egypt are rising. Israel needs to be uninvented and Palestine given back to the Palestinians. That's a non-negotiable step toward peace in the Middle East, which actually means peace in the rest of the world. And President Trump, who is fresh off a victory in Korea, where he partnered with General Secretary Xi Jinping to denuclearize and unify the Koreas, now he needs to go over to the Middle East and do the same, only this time he has to work with Iran, Turkey, and Egypt, not with Israel. Israel is history.
Yeah, and anybody that knows about the history of Israel coming into being knows that even that was a plot to cause a conflict in the Middle East.
Well, Israel is an invented state. There's an excellent, excellent book on the invented homeland of Israel, I think, by Shlomo, who's one of the most gifted Jewish intellectual authors that I know and respect very, very much. Bottom line here is Israel has no right to the land that it's occupying. This was literally an invasion and an occupation that was set up by the British. One of the reasons the British are so subservient to the Zionists is because the Zionists have been very, very skilled at intermarriage, going all the way back to the 30s and 40s. To the point that the British elite is no longer the British elite. It's now the Zionist servant class.
Right. Well, speaking of invasion, so what do you think is happening at the border, really?
Well, the bottom line here is that President Trump is pushing back on decades. And this is not just Obama and Clinton, but also the two Bushes. President Trump is pushing back on decades of people not putting America first, exporting our jobs to China and allowing unlimited numbers of illegal immigrants, not just Latinos like myself, I'm a Latino, but a legal Latino born in the USA and proud of it, but also Africans and Asians and birth babies, tourist babies. President Trump is pushing back on all of that. And I think he's done a tremendous job of hitting the basics. What he hasn't done is eliminated the income tax and eliminated the student debt and forced pharmaceuticals to have a price list and eliminated the elderly health debt that is not covered by insurance. So there's a lot more for the president to do in a second term. And I totally support him for a second term. But he will not get a second term if he doesn't start defending the Constitution, put America first, not Israel first, and embrace hashtag unrig, so that the independents, greens, and libertarians have a reason for voting for him.
Yeah, if he gets his second term, because this term has been about just fighting to maintain some status quo and to get reelected. But once he's reelected, he can take his leash off and really
start. Let me correct that. This term has been in part about surviving assassination. I mean, my understanding is there are at least 12 or 13 assassination attempts that have been beaten back. And the Secret Service around Trump, unlike the Secret Service around John F. Kennedy, is loyal to the idea that they're supposed to prevent the president from being assassinated. Yeah. The Secret Service around Kennedy actually was part of the conspiracy to execute the president of the United States on their watch, and they will never live down that shame. Trump has done a lot of good things, but I cannot emphasize the degree to which Jared Kushner hurt Donald Trump. Chris Christie, fantastic guy, did a very, very important job with the transition team. He had 4,000 people ready to go, 12 volumes of planning documents that would have allowed the president to be 2 to 3 times more successful in his first term than he has been. And there's only one person that can be blamed for that, and that person's name is Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner, for selfish, egotistical, the wrong reasons, threw away the 12-volume things, blocked Christie from being the chief of staff, and essentially destroyed the president of the United States on day one. And as a result, the GOP, which is not the president's friend, came in, and most of the jobs in the executive have been filled by people who do not have any loyalty at all to President Donald Trump. He is still fighting the deep state, which is absolutely represented by the Republican Party as well as the Democratic Party.
Yeah, I can't, person like myself, I can't even imagine what it's like to get up every day and have millions of people dedicated to undermining everything you say, picking apart every speech, every quote, everything, every word. You know, it must be maddening, especially for somebody like Trump, that because he comes.
Well, you make a really good point, and this is a problem because the president has allowed it to be a problem.
Right.
I have, from the first day, I mean, as soon as Trump was elected, I created a memorandum that I sent to the GOP, which was not delivered to the president, called A Spy's Christmas Message for Donald Trump. It had over 200,000 views at Zero Edge and in other places. I've been trying to help the president since I first said he could win in 2015 in an article called Counter Coup, How Trump Can Win. That was published in Counterpunch. Jefferson Sessions didn't support Trump until February 2016. I was there in August of 2015. The president should throw the media scum out of the White House. The president needs a Trump studio, a Truth Channel, an open source agency that can educate the American people 1 7-minute video at a time. And he's basically not doing that. I personally think his communication staff stinks. These people don't know what they don't know. And so the president is being, in my judgment, 30% effective in terms of reaching the rest of the country and communicating his message. And he can't communicate just one message. He has to have every single day, he has to have a Latino message, a black message, a white suburban mom message, and everyone else message, and so forth. He has to have messages on poverty, on infectious disease, on environmental degradation, on war, on genocide and other atrocities, which is where Israel is the primary mover today, as well as Saudi Arabia. And then, of course, proliferation and transnational crime. Trump is doing nothing to reverse the get out of jail free pass that Eric Holder under Obama gave Wall Street. I just finished reading Matt Taibbi's book, The Divide, which in combination with Sidney Powell's book, License to Lie, basically says the U.S. government has given up trying to keep Wall Street honest at the same time that they have allowed the persecution of black people. I'm not making this up, for standing on the street in the middle of the night with no one around, they're being arrested by policemen for obstructing pedestrian traffic.
I mean, some of the things that's going on the planet today is beyond my comprehension to even think about sometimes. So I can imagine what it is for, like, just the average American citizen that watches CNN and MSNBC and has that indoctrinated point of view of what's going on in the world. You know, one of the things, I've thought about this too, everything we're talking about, like the internet and the pedophile groups, everything that's going on in these inner circles that they've used to control and to manipulate and to blackmail, to further their agenda. If you stop and think about it, if Trump is truly playing chess and is even a couple of moves ahead of these people, it's that very system, the internet, it's going to take them down. The pedophile groups, these are the weak links. All you have to do, like you say, is get one of these people to start talking. And I think that
we already have. Epstein, in my view, is alive.
Yeah.
And what people don't want to admit is that there are 49 other Mossad cells across this country. There's one in every single state, from Kansas to Oregon to Texas. I think the president is doing the greatest possible job as a single individual. His shortfall is Jared Kushner and a crummy staff, and he hasn't cleared out the White House and created a Trump studio, a grand strategy cell, a truth channel, and so forth. He needs his own internet. He needs something other than Twitter. Twitter is cutting him back to 40% of his reach. So I'm very frustrated. I'm not giving up on the president yet. But by January or February, if he is not defending the Constitution, particularly the First, Second, and Fourth Amendments, if he is not putting America first and stopping all this nonsense about an embassy in Jerusalem and Golan Heights belong to Israel and millions of dollars for the Israelis and Israelis working out of American bases in Iraq. I mean, the list of Israeli travesties and sins and acts of war against the United States of America is very long. And your listeners might find it interesting to go to Phi Beta Iota, that's PH, not F, PhiBetaIota.net, and just look up Zionist strikes. The master list is 48 Zionist strikes. And that starts with the USS Liberty, goes through 9/11, and comes up to the latest Zionist atrocity, which is they have bribed and blackmailed the governors and legislators of 27 states to make it a felony to practice your First Amendment rights in criticizing Israel and calling for boycotts, divestment, and sanctions, which is what we did to help South Africa heal itself.
Right.
It's not allowed to do the same to Israel. That's an atrocity. The Zionist parasite needs to be expelled from the United States economy, the United States government, and United States society.
Yeah, I just recently heard what you were just talking about. I had to check it out to validate it, to make sure it was even real. How did these things happen? These are questions that I sometimes don't know how to answer. I think this is the importance, though, of talking.
Well, let me tell you how they've happened. They've happened because citizens have abdicated their responsibility for governing, for self-governance. One of the things, George Will wrote a book called The Conservative Sensibility, and it's a very important book. I've written a review, a summary review of this book. He basically points out that under natural law, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution are we, the people, creating the government to serve us. It's not the other way around. We're citizens, not subjects.
Right.
The U.S. government is out of control because U.S. citizens have failed to exercise their responsibility as free men and women to demand that the government serve the public interest. So what you have is a government that is going through the motions, transferring wealth from the individual wage earner to the fat cats on Wall Street, who then dribble crumbs down to the politicians. I mean, Nancy Pelosi is worth $193 million after 30 years on a government salary. What's wrong with that picture?
Yeah.
Okay? The whole system is corrupt. And let me single out the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Like any other organization, 90% good people trapped in a bad system. But people have to remember, the Federal Bureau of Investigation was created by a pedophile named J. Edgar Hoover, who used to accept small children from the mafia as gifts. And he pioneered the art of political blackmail using government resources. The FBI, the CIA, and NSA are blackmailing members of Congress today, often in collusion with the Mossad and with Saudi Arabia. This is crazy. All right, now I have proposed that the president create a presidential counterintelligence task force centered on military personnel that are not as screwed up as the FBI. We now know that James Comey was a traitor, that he violated all of the FBI and Department of Justice regulations in his handling of the whole Trump matter. That's a man who should be indicted and sent to prison.
Yeah.
But we don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
We have made it so that if you're poor, you go to prison for life. If you're middle class or rich, you basically get a civil fine and a slap on the wrist. So I'm hoping the president, with his executive order on human trafficking, with some other things that he's doing, is in the second term going to come out hard. But he will not get a second term if he doesn't start defending the Constitution, putting America first, not Israel first, and embracing hashtag unrig election reform to appeal to the independents and libertarians and Greens, among others.
Yeah, and like you say, it can't be like a 50-50 thing. He needs to get like at least 70% of the country behind him to really make the force powerful enough to really plow this through.
You know? I agree with that. And let me tell you, the president is losing a significant portion of the base with his current posture on gun control and red flag laws, which are totally unconstitutional. The red flag laws have no due process, and they're killing people. So I think the president has a long way to go. He's not being properly briefed. I know he has a big heart and a big brain, but he is not being properly briefed. He's embarrassing himself with his base. He's losing a portion of his base, and he's doing absolutely nothing to attract the hashtag walkaways from the Democratic Party that are fed up. And by the way, it looks like the Democratic Party is trying to throw the race. They're actually going to pick a losing ticket, such as Kamala Harris and Elizabeth Warren. And they want to lose because they will make more money from donations from people angry at Trump winning again. However, if the Democrats are going to throw the race and the president does not go after the independents and the Greens, that opens the door for a split ticket. Let's say Robert Steele and Cynthia McKinney or somebody else. Coming through the Libertarian door. The Libertarian Party is the only party that can get every single state a Libertarian on the ballot, okay? The president cannot afford to ignore this dark horse threat. He also cannot afford someone like Cynthia McKinney coming into the Democratic race in January or February, perhaps with Dennis Kucinich as a vice presidential candidate, and just blowing up the entire race. Right. None of the Democratic candidates today is a serious candidate. But the president, in my view, is being inattentive to the possibilities of an explosion.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things on his mind, I'm sure, that keeps his attention away from this, too. But yeah.
I totally agree. There is, he has my complete and absolute loyalty and sympathy, but I'm screaming here from the cheap seat saying, Mr. President, please focus.
So who do you think would be a good libertarian? Yourself? And
well, I quit the Libertarian Party because I consider the Libertarian Party leadership to be dishonest. They're not serious about winning. I tried to get them to run a split ticket with the Green Party and Independence coalition cabinet in 2016 and 2012, and they just were not interested. So I have no faith at all in the Libertarian Party leadership. I have a lot of faith in the Libertarian Party members. And John McAfee, my friend, has got enormous reach into the Libertarian Party. And John and I have already agreed that if I were to run for president as a Libertarian, he would be part of that dialogue and discussion. However, let me emphasize, I am not running for president. I don't want to run for president. I want Donald Trump to win in the mother of all landslides. But if the president will not listen to me and defend the Constitution, put America first, and embrace hashtag unrig, then he is going to look at, he is going to be looking at competition that will cost him the election. I can't beat Donald Trump. He's too great a man. He's got too much money. He's got the whole GOP under him, but I can cost him the election.
Right. Yeah, just by siphoning some of those votes away. I tell you one thing, it is a good platform to make your voice heard, but I'm not too sure right now if it's the time to do that or just the time to get behind Donald Trump and hope that he starts changing his ways and opening up to what's really important.
I'm easy. I can be bought with one meeting or one phone call.
Right.
I just need to know the president is hearing us, and I'm not getting that vibe. In fact, I sent a copy of Marianne Williamson's book, A Politics of Love, to the First Lady and to Kellyanne Conway, and some Zionist schmuck in the White House mailroom rejected it. I started a federal postal investigation. 15 minutes later, the White House accepted my two packages and then probably threw them in the trash. The president's mail and the First Lady's mail is being filtered by traitors in the White House. And if he doesn't get a grip, I mean, his secretary is a spy for the Republican Party. She was put there by the Republican Party. He didn't pick her. They've managed to eliminate every person to Trump except for Ivanka Trump and Jared Kushner. And the only reason they've left those two alive, apart from the fact that they're family, is because they're both Democrats. And they both work for Israel.
Right.
So, you know, this is insane. This is insane. Our president needs to clean out the White House of both family and press.
Personally, I think you'd make a good presidential advisor, if anything. If you were there and he was getting some better advice, that would make a world of difference.
As you saw from my briefing, all I want out of life is the open source agency.
Yeah.
I want to be able to give the president the truth about everything in a form that is shareable with the public, with Congress, with the media, the scum media, and with allies.
Yeah, I'd like to encourage anybody listening to this to go to your website, robertdavidsteele.com, and read what you're talking about open source. It's really interesting, and it could be one of the game changers of all this proprietary madness that we see out there. And it would change everything, actually.
Let me point out that my blog, which is the actual blog subscription that is free with no ads ever, is phibetaiota.net. And that's a reference site with over 25,000 posts from over 800 subject matter experts. So phibetaiota.net is the real blog for the public interest. RobertDavidSteele.com more or less holds my life's work, which is free online and totally transparent. There's no question in my mind that the president needs an open source agency. And CIA has been fighting me on this for 30 years. I think the tide is turning. Russia is looking at an open source agency. China is looking at an open source agency. I haven't heard back yet from Iran, but I believe that Iran and Turkey will eventually create their own open source agency. And the importance of this is that on the one hand, the Information Bureau provides free open source intelligence to everybody on everything. And on the other hand, the Open Source Engineering Bureau creates tractors, well diggers, all kinds of instruments for civilization that Dr. Marcin Jakubowski has created, using open source everything so that the cost is 10 to 20% the cost of the failed Western model, which is based on 50% waste and 90% profit for the banks. We can build anything for 10 to 20% of the cost of the current proprietary model. And the president needs that. He needs that for Texas. He needs that for Wisconsin. He needs that for Pennsylvania. He needs that for Florida. So it's hard for me. The only explanation, I know Donald Trump knows who I am. I mean, I'm talking to multiple senior advisors that talk to him about me. And what I'm hearing is that he's been told that I'm a rabble-rouser and that I can't be trusted and that Cynthia McKinney is a communist and a Muslim terrorist sympathizer. The president's being lied to. At some point, he's going to figure out I can cost him. At some point, he's also going to figure out I can help him be the greatest president ever. So at that point, I'd like him to take my hand. In fact, there's a joke about black guys walking past a river and there's a white guy being eaten by a crocodile. And the black guy says, give me your hand, give me your hand. And the white guy say, no, no, no. And finally, the black guy has an epiphany, which is the Republican word for aha. And he says, take my hand, take my hand. And the white guy takes his hand and is saved. All right, Mr. President, take my hand, please.
Yeah, you need a face-to-face with him because you don't know exactly the information you're getting from his contacts, if even that's true.
That's exactly right. And that's also why I've been working so hard to get the president a face-to-face with the supreme leader of Iran. There is a lot of disinformation. I believe that the president can do with Iran what he's done with the Koreas. The only way he's going to get there is by receiving Rouhani in the United States first and then making a state visit to Iran before Election Day, which will be a triumph. I mean, if Putin could sit down with the supreme leader, President Donald Trump should be sitting down with the supreme leader. And the fact that he's not, I blame on Mike Pompeo and the State Department being Zionist controlled.
Yeah. Hey, When you were at the disclosure, did you have a chance to listen to Michael Sala?
Well, no, but I've read two of his books, and I think he's done the best he can. I've also read two books by David Wilcock, one of which qualified as a 6-star book, his sources book. And I think everyone at the disclosure event had something to offer. And I was very, very glad to be there, because that, I think, is going to become the new Red Pill event in the United States of America. The current Red Pill event is not doing well.
Yeah, because whatever's going on in the Antarctica is definitely not what we're being told. There's something going on down there. And I've read all three of Michael's books. And I tell you, when you start really getting into it, every time you think you have something figured out, another thing comes in and sort of collapses it. And
yeah, let me point out that Michael's written about five books, if not more. And his series, I think, is four books. So he's been prolific. But he's not the only one out there. There are many others. And some of them have been discredited or have fallen by the wayside in some ways. But Dr. Stephen Greer was one of the first. I like to point people to Kerry Cassidy. Kerry Cassidy and Project Camelot are the originals. She's the one that gave David Wilcock his start. She was the first one to really bring whistleblowers out. And then David had the good sense to take that and then combine it with original research in Russia and elsewhere. And he's a self-made man after Cassidy, but he got his start with her. And I don't think enough people are giving her the credit that she's due.
Yeah, she's one of those people. This is something I've learned in doing interviews. It's good to be polite, respective, and, you know, identify some parameters on what to ask, what not to ask, but you have to be willing to sacrifice an interview to really get down to the nitty-gritty, the truth. And that's what she does. And I've seen some of her interviews fall apart too, but she has that interview she did with William Tompkins. It was pretty amazing when you start hearing somebody his age that's been so deeply involved in all of this. And then you start listening to people like Corey Good and Emery Smith and all these people. You have to have a healthy skepticism when you're dealing with all this. But after
I agree, and it's not my area of interest. I mean, I'm focused in the here and now and intelligence and so forth. But I was very glad to be at Disclosure, and I was just blown away by the love and the intelligence that was pervasive across the audience.
Yeah.
That's one of the most extraordinary audiences I've ever dealt with in my lifetime.
Yeah, I told you at the conference, I think you found your tribe here, Robert. You know, there's a lot of good people there.
No, I have one tribe. It's called the American tribe. My mission in life is to get everybody in the United States of America to have the same intelligence, integrity, and imagination that was characteristic of everyone at this one small conference.
Well, while we still have some time, let's touch on 9/11. I just watched a documentary called Incontrovertible. It's put together basically by policemen and firemen, and it was two other law enforcement people that, hey, look at the facts, you know, just look at the facts, and anybody with an IQ over 70 with a few brain cells still firing would have to come to the conclusion, and I very seldom use that word, but the conclusion that the real story that was given to us is completely false. And Incontrovertible really brings this out in a really identifiable way. What's your feelings on that?
Well, let me point out, I'm the only person on the planet that has overseen 28 memorandums for the President of the United States of America. Your listeners can find the 28 memorandums that were delivered to the president on the 8th of August, 2018 at tinyurl.com/911-POTUS, POTUS. I've also done something on Sandy Hook, which is at SH-POTUS. That also was delivered to the president on the 8th of September, 2019. And my Sandy Hook volume is now a matter of congressional record, as well as at the Department of Homeland Security, the Attorney General, and in the White House. There is no putting that book down. You can't erase it from history the way Amazon has tried to erase books about Sandy Hook, because Amazon is a Zionist-controlled organization that is censoring books and reviewers and reviews. 9/11 began as insurance fraud. And 9/11, people need to understand that the Twin Towers, or the whole WTC, was owned by the states of New York and New Jersey until July of the year in which the towers were taken down. the governors of New York and New Jersey, the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and the mayor of New York City, Rudy Giuliani, are culpable, complicit in 9/11. In 1988, the Twin Towers were condemned, and the EPA said they had to be brought down manually. They could not be done with controlled demolitions because there was too much asbestos and toxins and so forth. That made the Twin Towers an immediate $2 billion liability. That's when planning began. I believe that the states of New York and New Jersey, Dick Cheney, who became Secretary of Defense and virtual president in some ways in 1990, and Larry Silverstein and Benjamin Netanyahu and the Zionists. They all came together and said, all right, let's make lemonade out of lemons. They turned this insurance fraud into a long-term plan to make the Twin Towers a terrorist incident. Dick Cheney was warned by 13 countries in advance of 9/11 because they all picked up the chatter. He swore them all to secrecy. George Tenet and the FBI, the CIA and the FBI, both raided the offices of contractors for Able Danger, which had evidence of 9/11 months in advance. Dick Cheney scheduled a counterterrorism exercise on the day, months in advance. He moved a strip alert aircraft to Alaska in order to prevent NORAD from responding. The airports were controlled by Israeli security. The dogs were taken out of the World Trade Center 2 weeks in advance and never allowed back because they were planting explosives. There may have been a nuclear event. There may have been a directed energy event. It's clear now that the aircraft were holograms. There was an Air Force hologram aircraft in the vicinity that was projecting these things. The media was complicit. One of them broke the story 20 minutes too early. Bottom line, Dick Cheney was the top U.S. official who collaborated with the Zionists to bring down the World Trade Center as a terrorist event. He murdered 3,000 people. And Robert Mueller, as director of the FBI, the previous director of the FBI, quit rather than be complicit in 9/11. They finally got Mueller to agree to take the job. Robert Mueller, in my judgment, is indictable for 3,000 counts of obstruction of justice and 3,000 counts of complicity in murder after the fact. And I pray that Donald Trump will bring Dick Cheney to justice because I believe he has to do Cheney before he can do Clinton.
Yeah, because Cheney would pretty much talk. You know, these people are not the kind of old school people that's going to go and serve their time quietly. They're going to start talking. You know,
I think Cheney's lucky that he's not dead. Similarly, Clinton is lucky that she's not dead. They're very lucky they haven't followed John McCain into hell. Bottom line here is that I think the president has a plan. I hope the president has a plan. The two top traitors to America are Dick Cheney and Hillary Clinton. And if the president doesn't do something about them before Election Day, he may not be elected.
Well, one thing for sure, Robert, We're getting ready to go through a massive change on this planet, and it's going to be unsettling for a lot of people. I mean, just Building 7, that's the weak link in this whole thing because it's so clear, and all the architects and engineers, there's over 2,000 of them saying no, that absolutely was taken down by a demolition. When this starts coming out, we have 3,000 people in the towers. We have
It's already out. This isn't about whether it's coming out or not. It's about whether presidential power will be used to ensure full disclosure. The New York Times, the Washington Post, the Boston Globe, the Los Angeles Times, CNN, Fox News, they all know what the truth is. They're all traitors. They're all deliberately covering up the truth because that's what the deep state wants. You know, we have a joke in my business. How many pedophiles does it take to cover up our blackmail and misdeeds? And the answer is all of them.
Yep.
Anybody not telling the truth today is compromised in some way.
Yeah, you have to, if you're going to start doing like what you're doing, for instance, your best defense is to get out there with as much exposure as possible, because you're already to the point now where it would be tough to do something to you because it would just prove everything that you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm easy to kill and I'm happy to die for my country. Very candidly, I think I could be killed and nobody would notice. What's really going on here is I and 1,000 other people are telling the president the same thing. Mr. President, you've got to get a grip on the truth. You've got to have a truth channel. You've got to have hashtag unrig. You've got to throw Israel under the bus. You've got to make a deal with Iran, not Israel, restore Palestine, and defend the Constitution. I mean, you know, the United States of America does not have a grand strategy. And yet, as you saw from my speech at Dimensions of Disclosure, which is at tinyurl.com/steel-dd-2019, the Declaration of Independence has America's grand strategy right up front.
Right.
Okay? And I laid all of that out, so I won't repeat it here. Our president, if he wants to be the greatest president ever, has got to defend the First Amendment against big tech in Israel. He's got to defend the Second Amendment against the police state in Israel. And he's got to defend the Fourth Amendment against NSA, TSA in Israel.
So while we still have some time, I'd like to touch on the Vatican for one, and why it is that they have a seat at the United Nations, right?
They should not. The Vatican should lose its diplomatic status. I mean, otherwise we should give Buddhism, the Seventh-day Adventists, and everybody else a seat at the United Nations as well as diplomatic status. I would love for the Quakers to have diplomatic embassies all over the world. This Vatican embassy diplomatic stuff is bullshit. They should lose their diplomatic status. And we should terminate the state of Israel. We should uninvent the state of Israel. These are the two pillars of evil in the world.
Yeah, I wrote a book about 6 or 7 years ago about the social and neurological consequences of maintaining a rigid belief system with no evidence, no proof, and totally irrational.
Oh, there's a book I'd love to recommend to people called Caesar's Messiah. There's a very good case to be made that the Catholic Church is actually the most successful psychological operation in history. And there's a real parallel between the Gaelic Wars, the Caesar's Wars, and the New Testament. And the bottom line comes down to, if you're Caesar and you have all these rabble rousers and you want them to all suddenly decide that they should render under Caesar and turn the other cheek, how better to do that than to invent the Catholic religion?
Yeah, and there's no better way to get a person out on the battlefield ready to give his life than to get them to believe in an invisible God, and all of your rewards are going to come after you die.
I mean, yeah, and by the way, the whole 70 virgin thing has been misinterpreted. They actually get 70 dates. So a lot of these Muslim terrorists are going to be real disappointed when they get to heaven.
Yeah, I've thought about that. They get to heaven, they have a plate full of dates or raisins. I think the actual thing is white raisins, if I remember right. But
yeah. I don't know, and I don't care. Look, I feel very positive about the future, because I think in 2012 we began a massive positive swing, and I heard various people at the conference say that it doesn't matter what we do. It's already done. The deal is cut. We're moving in the right direction. And so I'd like to be part of that. I'm very upbeat about the future of America. I'm very upbeat about Donald Trump. I'm worried, but I'm very upbeat. And I think that 2020 is going to be an epic turning point. The president has already pushed back on transgender. He's already pushing back on all of the perversions that the Democratic Party and the deep state have been pushing on America. I mean, California is a study in insanity. I mean, what kind of state would tell the schools and the churches that they have to tell children that they're not just either a man or a woman, but there are 30 different kinds of perversions in between that they can choose from? And in fact, they're forced to consider the possibility that they might be transgender. This is pure bullshit.
Yeah, kids
are too subversive. It's not just baloney. It's subversive. It's treason. It is seditious.
Yeah, just recently, PBS is also getting in on this, because PBS is starting to broadcast with all of their broadcasting subliminal and sort of in-your-face political agendas to small kids. And this isn't what PBS is supposed to be about.
I agree. This is kind of the second act. Walt Disney was a pedophile, a murderous pedophile, and a traitor to the United States of America. And this whole Disneyland thing, the Edge Boys did a wonderful segment on the pornography And there's also a 15-minute video of Shirley Temple extracts that basically show her as the poster child for the hidden pedophilia that Hollywood wanted to put in our face, to include being splattered with cow's milk and something that looks very much like drinking sperm, right, and so forth. Bottom line for me is that the president's executive order on human trafficking is the single most important presidential action since Dwight Eisenhower warned us on the military-industrial complex. Hats off to the president. Let's go from there.
Okay, I'd like to end this with, I would like to know this personally, Robert. What was it in your life that made you become a whistleblower? Was it a gradual awakening to something had to be said?
I'm not technically a whistleblower. I'm an intelligence reformist. I've never violated my secrecy oath. I've never disclosed secrets. I've never gone through the legal process like Bill Binney has. Bill Binney is also technically not a whistleblower because he went through the inspector generals of the Departments of Justice, Department of Defense. And then when the FBI tried to intimidate him, he handed them their ass because he had all of the classified information properly stored in a position to basically eliminate the FBI. Had the FBI taken Bill Binney to court, he would have destroyed the FBI. I think the FBI may have to be abolished. I think it's in such ill repute that we may need a new national counterintelligence agency and a new national police network or something. The FBI right now, I'm not sure it can be saved. But the bottom line for me is that my awakening, I think, came from nonfiction reading, not from the CIA, not from 9/11. I started reading heavily when I wrote two books on intelligence reform. The first book on intelligence, Spies and Secrecy in an Open World, had a foreword from Senator David Boren. I helped him with the National Security Act of 1992 that was blocked by Senator John Warner because it would have reduced the size of the intelligence community and cost jobs in Virginia. My second book, with a foreword by Senator Pat Roberts from Kansas, was The New Craft of Intelligence. And as a result of those, I read 300 books. And over time, I've read and reviewed 2,500 books in 98 categories. All of my reviews are free online at 58iota.net under the reviews page. People can get a graduate education in reality from my book reviews for free. And it's very well structured with hot links from each category and so forth. So I would say to you, it wasn't that I was awakened as much as I have always had integrity. And I kept pursuing my integrity. I mean, here's an example. When I created the Marine Corps Intelligence Center, today a command, I realized that the secret world didn't know much and that open source intelligence was the answer. I ran an intelligence conference that Admiral Bill Studeman, the Deputy Director of Central Intelligence, came from. CIA refused to attend. They said, oh, we'll come to an open source intelligence conference, but it has to be secret U.S. citizens only. I said, you ignorant morons, what part of open source are you not understanding? And so Admiral Studeman backed me up. We had 140 people from CIA. Then they were so afraid of me that they went to the Marine Corps and said, don't let Steele run another conference on open source again. We don't want to hear about it. And I was told by my general, you can't run an open source conference. And I said, fuck you, general, I quit. And so I went through some very hard years. I mean, my salary dropped from $70,000 a year to $27,000 a year. As I struggled to create this thing, and I finally went to 219,000. But the bottom line here, now I've been technically unemployed the last 10 years because my clearances were taken away. I got them back, but they were taken away by morons that could not understand 7,500 cheerfully declared foreign contacts for each of whom I had a one-page document. You're my conference participants. You know how stupid you have to be to not understand that all of these people were attending a conference and that I'm not compromised with Ugandan colonels or Russian generals, for that matter. I mean, really, the U.S. government security process is stupid. I mean, it may be getting better in some ways, but back when I was dealing with it, I was dealing with idiots. These are people who couldn't get a job anywhere else. So the long and the short of it is I have always been true to America. I have always been true to the truth. My motto is the truth at any cost lowers all other costs. And I'll tell you what's happening. What's happening is the rest of the world is catching up with me. I'm coming into my own now because everybody else is catching up with me. You know, it's like that James Bond film where M says to James Bond, "We need you back, James." He says, "I never left."
Right. Yeah, you know, the thing about America, it's not just a chunk of dirt between two oceans. It's an idea. It's a spiritual idea, and it's an experiment. And as any experiment goes, you're going to fail, correct, and fail and correct, and make corrections. And I agree, you know, this at the heart, if anybody doubts this, just read the Constitution.
No, I agree. I mean, America is an experiment in individualism and free will making a collective. And one of my heroes, let me end on this note, one of my heroes is Nicholas Nassim Taleb, who wrote The Black Swan and Anti-Fragility and Skin in the Game. And he and Eleanor Ostrom, who got a Nobel Economics Prize for this idea, have both found out that localization, distribution, is what puts the power back in the citizens' hands. And my hat's off to President Trump for distributing a portion of the U.S. government to Denver, Colorado. I want him to distribute the entire federal government across the country and cut it in half. And at the same time, I want to eliminate the income tax so that the automated payment transaction tax is collected from the bottom up, so that counties tell the states what to do or withhold funds, and states tell the federal government what to do or withhold funds. I think we're at the beginning of a process of returning to the concept of natural law, where we, the citizens, rule, not the federal government. I am absolutely a fan of John Whitehead and the stuff that he's writing about. The police now are trying to declare veterans mentally unfit so they can take their guns away. This is what red flag laws are all about. If the President of the United States does not come out and defend the U.S. Constitution, he will not be elected in 2020.
Well, that's a good note to end this on. And I would like for you to say one more time the two websites that you would like people to go to.
Thank you. RobertDavidSteele.com is my life's work free online. It also has a section on my websites. And Phi Beta Iota, like Phi Beta Kappa, but Iota for intelligence, PhiBetaIota.net is the free blog, no ads ever, 3 to 5 emailed posts a day. And God bless you, and God bless America, and God bless our President Donald Trump.
Absolutely, Robert. You take care, and thank you very much for your time.
It's my honor and pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye.